Well, church family, it's a delight to see you. And I imagine those of you who are at home watching this, either now or later, for I have been sitting at home as well, watching Jude. And so it's an opportunity to come, and it's a great privilege to come and proclaim the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this sermon I've entitled, Come As You Are to Jesus. And I think you might find by the end of the sermon that you're going to find that this is a very simple message, a very straight to the point message, which perhaps you're going to hear I'm going to repeat over and over again, but it's something that I have had to repeat to myself. And as I preach this sermon, I'm realizing there's so much that I cannot tell you, just not enough time. But I know that most of you will have a good context, and I'll trust that you'll see that context, and you'll apply the sermon as God gives it to your heart as you need to. This sermon comes out of my own personal struggles over a period of 2017 to 2019. I've been a believer in Jesus Christ for a long time, and I dearly love his precious truths. But I was struggling over the sense that I was not doing enough for God. The more I have been growing in the grace of God, the more I have been seeing the beauty of his love, the more I was realizing how far short I fall in showing my love. And it led me to question how he could love someone like me. And these struggles led me, and pages and pages of journal notes and prayers and beseeching God to help me to think and meditate about what it meant to come to God like a child in the fall of 2019. And so I started my journey there, and I knew this passage and other passages like it, but what does it mean? What does it mean? And so when Jude gave the offer to preach, I was immediately attracted to this passage because I said, there's going to be some other people that can help me, and God will help me in this study of what it means to come like a child to Jesus. Now, we know the context in the sense of Luke because Luke set out to write an orderly account to Theophilus that he might have certainty concerning the things he had been taught. That's from Luke 1:3. And we've been reminded throughout this sermon series by Jude and others of simply the highlights of Jesus' life and the highlights of what he was teaching as he made himself known to be the Son of God. And he demonstrated that he was the Son of God by his power over nature, over sickness, and over death. He proclaimed the kingdom of God was at hand, and that he was the long-awaited Messiah. And Jesus confronted sin, and he made it plain that only through him can we be reconciled to God the Father. And as I was dwelling on this, I was thinking, you know, Jesus never had a constraint as to how long it would take him to teach a lesson. They were in community. They were talking all the time. And so we know so little about what he actually said, but these things are summarized. And we know back in Luke 17:11 that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem with his disciples. And at some point, whether then or shortly thereafter, he joins the crowds who are heading to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And it's in that context that we read these verses today from Luke 18:15 to 17. This last Passover, where Jesus would lay down his life for all who would believe that he is indeed the Son of God. And so we see in the midst of life going on, from Luke 18:15, now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And my study and my meditation as I prepared for this sermon led me to this big idea, that we must come like children to Jesus because that is what we are. We are children. No matter how old or how experienced or how knowledgeable we are, in comparison to God, we are infants. No matter how rich or how poor we are, or how strong or how weak or how self-sufficient or needy, we are all infants. In fact, the gap between us and God is far greater, infinitely greater, than the gap between adults and newborn babies. Now, please understand that God is not saying that we must put aside our intellect or anything else that God has given to us in order and become infantile in order to come to Him. Rather, what our God is saying to us is that anyone who wants to come to God, we must confess that He is God and that He is not. We must recognize our need of Him. We must see that only God can help us solve our greatest problem. And that greatest problem is that we have been born and we continue to live as rebels against God until we believe in Jesus as the only one who can reconcile us to the Father. And so God, through His Word, repeats over and over again the sense of come to me, as we see in Isaiah 55:1. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. And He says in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. And in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We see throughout the gospel accounts and throughout the Bible as a whole that God and Jesus repeatedly invite us to come to Him just as we are. And He makes the same offer to us. And the question is, will you and I take up His offer? Will we come even now, for those of you who have been Christians for a long time, will you recognize your weakness and your struggles and your poverty before God? And will you come just as you are? For those of you that do not know Christ yet, will you come just as you are? Now we see in verse 15 that they said, now they being parents, grandparents, caregivers, were bringing even infants to Jesus that He might touch them. And in the parallel passages in Matthew 19 and Mark 10, we see that they were bringing their children to Jesus for Him to lay His hands on them and pray. And Luke writes, even infants, emphasizing that babies were amongst the children being brought to Jesus. Now, implied in this statement is that the caregiver saw something of great value in Jesus, and they wanted what He had to offer. They were motivated enough to make the effort to get through the crowds to go to Jesus. And I have to imagine that the crowds were pressing hard on Jesus. He had demonstrated to Himself. They had many people that knew what He was saying and what He was doing. And so I'm thinking they had to work pretty hard to get there. They wanted Jesus to lay His hands on their children and pray. They anticipated that Jesus would bless their children and that His blessing would be meaningful and significant. Perhaps on their minds was Jesus laying His hands on the sick. I mean, Luke hadn't read this yet, but I'm sure they'd heard about it from Luke 4:40. All those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. Or perhaps thinking of Jesus as their long-awaited Messiah, their Emmanuel, God with us, that Jesus would provide for every need of theirs and for their children, for he had declared that he is the bread of life, the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We see this captured in John. But the very fact that it was captured, the essence of that was captured, is we have to think that Jesus was repeatedly reminding people who he was. And many in the crowds would have known who he had declared himself to be. Or perhaps they were thinking of their own scriptures, thinking of Isaiah chapter 40. And in the midst of Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah is declaring who God is. He is the one that holds the waters in the palm of his hands. He is the one to whom the nations are nothing less than nothing. He is the one who declared in verses 28 and 29, where the Lord declares his greatness, "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." But before this, Isaiah writes in verse 11, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." Is it any wonder that they desired that Jesus would bless their children? And God exhorts us to see the immeasurable value of Jesus and desire to have Jesus bless us as he freely, freely delights to do. But there is a requirement. We have to come to him. His terms are simple. If you want him, come as you are. If you want him, come as you are. He is the Lord God Almighty. He has given us sufficient evidence that he is indeed Almighty God and that he makes good on his promises, and we sang about that this morning. He also knows our every struggle. He knows our doubts, our fears, our unbelief. He knows that we are children. If you do not yet believe in Jesus, but you want to, accept his invitation. For Jesus declares in Mark 1:15, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Repent. Turn from the way you are walking and turn to Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. Or as we read in Romans 10:9-10, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." Perhaps you have been a believer for many years, and you're struggling right now, just as I have struggled and wrestled with God. Maybe you're seeing the glory of God and you're saying, "God, I just can't live up to your standards." Maybe there's some secret issue in your life that you just can't seem to give over to God. Whatever it may be, come as a child. Ask him to help you. Come as the child you are. So great is God's love, that he delights to stoop down
and meet you and me right where we are. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Now we see in verse 15 that when the disciples saw the families coming to Jesus, they rebuked those families. Now we don't know the motivation of the disciples, but we see in this moment that they believed that they knew what was best for Jesus and best for those who would approach Jesus. And there's even an application here for us. How often do we think and live like we know what is best for Jesus to accomplish? We got COVID. We got people in masks. Jesus. We get to ask him, but how many times have we been saying, God, you got to do it this way. You got to meet my needs that way. And yes, we should plead with Jesus, as Jude reminded us from Luke 18, from the parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge. But we should blush to tell Jesus how to do his work. How often by our prayers and our expectations do we tell Jesus how to act? How often are we like the disciples determining who and how to come to Jesus? I confess that I catch myself thinking and praying in a way that leads me to giving God advice is how he should better manage his world. And I am praying, and you can join me in praying this thought, that, oh God, forgive me for my sin. Forgive us for our sins, for you are God and we are not. Do what is best for your glory. Help us to come like a child. And children come freely asking. But children come freely asking, trusting that those that they're asking for help will do what is best. Help us to come with the same attitude. So Jesus rebuked his well-meaning disciples by saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. And he says the same to us, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. Now in verse 16, we see Jesus called them to him saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Jesus, by his love for these children, who were of little worth in the disciples' eyes, shows that each person is significant in his eyes. And by this, Jesus confirms that the little children have the capacity to understand their need of him and put their trust in him. To the least of these belong the children, kingdom of God. And we have seen the evidence of the faith of children in our congregation as they have come up here and gathered, and they have responded to Jude's leading. We can see their faith. We can see their joy. We can see their confidence in God. And you will have your own experiences of the capacities of children and their ability to trust God. Let us welcome all who desire to come to Jesus just as they are. Now we have this kingdom of God. To such belongs the kingdom of God. And Ray preached on this back on May 31st, giving a much longer definition of the kingdom of God. I'd like to summarize the kingdom of God this way. To be in the presence of God both now and forever, and to be in right relationship with the Father, Son, and Spirit, having been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, made right before God, and now holy and blameless in God's sight, adopted as children. This is what Jesus offers to all who will believe in him. The Father, Son, and Spirit joyfully offer that we will be in their presence, under their care, as our shepherd, our rock, our mighty warrior, our strong deliverer, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, forever. Consider what flows from being in a right relationship with God through Jesus by a brief scan of Romans 8. Turn there with me if you would like. And be amazed at God's provision for us who believe. From verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, we have been set free in Christ Jesus. There was I struggling, God. How can you love somebody like me? And you can put into your own life whatever issues you're dealing with God. And God has repeatedly said to me over and over, and I just didn't know how to hold on to this. Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have been set free in Christ Jesus. An expression I've heard from a friend of mine for a while is, God, you've got this. I'm struggling, God. God says, yeah, I know. I've got this. I got issues. God says, yeah, I know. I've got this. Verse 9, the Spirit dwells in us. The infinite, eternal, unchanging God dwells within you and me, whoever believes in Jesus. Verse 14, we are sons and daughters of God. Verse 26, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Verse 28 and 30, for those who love God, all things work together for good. The ultimate good, to conform us to the image of Christ. You want to know what's going on in the world today for those who believe? You can sit on this verse right here. He is conforming you to the image of Christ. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, stop and pause there, but gave him up for us all. Our Lord God giving us the greatest gift that he could possibly give, his son Jesus. And Jesus giving us the greatest gift that he could possibly give, which was himself, to come into this world, to lay down his life, to pay the penalty for our sin. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? All things that pertain to life and godliness. All things that will enable us to live a life that's pleasing in God's sight. And verses 35 through 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And the fact of the matter is, all those things seem like they could separate us from the love of Christ. But it finishes by saying, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And because of that, in verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And now we come to this warning in verse 17. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Now the emphasis of the sermon has been that if we want to be in right relationship with God, and I hope you do, then we must value God for who he is, and we must come to him as we are. But this verse begs the question, what does it mean to receive the kingdom of God like a child? And that's what I was hoping to find when I was doing all of this study. I am wired to do. Tell me, God, what to do, God. And I'll do it. I want to be pleasing in your sight. And we can learn from children, particularly young children, I think, who from their positive attributes, their innocence, their willingness to trust God with an open heart. They have a natural humbleness. They are wholeheartedly engaged. They have few worries. They have a willingness to obey. They have a simple acceptance of those in authority over them. And they typically have unconditional love. As weak, as stammering as all of these things may be, these are good postures to take before our Lord. We can learn much from children just by observing them. And yet we know that children, like all of us, also have negative attributes. They can be fearful and anxious and rebellious, demanding, quick to blame others. And the more I pondered this, the more I realized that this was the sermon I was trying to preach, and God said, no, that's not the sermon to preach. That's why I've given you what you have. Because it's not about how much I do. It's not about how much you do to try and take on the positive attributes of a child before God. This was the dilemma I was struggling with. But the fact is, I cannot do this on my own. I could never have done this on my own. I can only do this by the grace of God. And so God invites us. He invites us because of who he is to come with confidence to him, because it's by the grace of God that we find rest in Jesus. Whatever's weighing you down, it's by the grace of God. Enjoy the rest of Jesus. And it's by the grace of God that we become more and more like Jesus. By the way, I'm not saying don't strive, don't try and grow in your Christian life, but do it in the power of Jesus. Let Jesus lead you. Let him carry you. Let him teach you. Jesus says to you and me from Matthew 11, 28 and 30, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So Jesus says, come. Dear believer, come. Unbeliever, come. What is holding you back from coming to Jesus? He knows us intimately. He knows our pride. He knows ultimately what's holding us back from him, and still he loves us. He knows our troubles, our hurts, our weaknesses, our longings, our needs. He invites us to come with his questions, our doubts, our fears, and place them in his hands. There's no doubt, there's no fear, there's no question too large that God will not be pleased to answer as long as we come to him like a child. Do you want to experience the love of the Father? Do you want to be forgiven and made whole? Give yourself to Jesus. He who knows how to love the least of these knows how to love you and me and meet us where we are right now. God just simply says, receive my steadfast love. Steadfast love that is higher than the heavens are above the earth. From everlasting to everlasting. For he delights to lavish upon us his love for all who will trust him and come to him. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, and he delights to do us good. And he always does what is best. What a blessing I have discovered to just let God be God and let me be a child. What a blessing. Our God offers himself to you and me to be our Savior and our King and our Lord. Will you take up his offer today and come to him like a child and receive the kingdom of God? He is waiting, even running towards you with arms open wide. Let us pray. You are God, Almighty God, Holy God, Glorious God, Beautiful God, Majestic God, Righteous. Your love, we cannot fathom the depth of your love, the amazing love that you have lavished upon us. But you love us, and you have declared that over and over and over again. Father, help us. Where we struggle, where we see our own weaknesses, our own sins, to put them into your hands and say, God, Be our God. And let us be your children. Let us entrust ourselves to you to do what only you can do, to make us the holy men and women of God that you have called us to be. And Father, you are faithful to complete your good work. And let us rest in you by your grace and magnify your holy name. We ask all these things in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.